Okay, well, I'm going to try it right here to see if I drop my book or not. Well, welcome, and see, we changed the room around a little bit. We're trying to make a few changes. We're really working on when people come in, are we friendly, and do we love on them, and do we care for them, and do they feel welcome? And I think I had a little bit of feedback one time from a visitor, and I was like, oh, really? I was like, you know, sometimes we have blind spots, and I kind of thought just because we're still kind of small, it's like, I just assume that it's friendly and people are talking. But they said, you know, no one even said hi to me. I'm like, are you serious? How did you get by? How did you get by us? But I just didn't want that to happen again. So, I don't know. We took away some hiding spots and thought we'd bring us all together a little bit more. So, that's what we're doing. So we might do a few things like that. Well, we're starting a new sermon series this week. And that's on being called by God. And the idea sometimes of being called by God is sometimes scary. So last week we had my buddy Michael come, and he talked about the mission to down in South America there. Not Honduras. Just slipped my mind. Mine was Nicaragua, thank you. And talked about what he was doing down there with her sister church. And my favorite thing of all, and I've shared it even before I got here, was when he said he was in high school and a missionary came to speak at his church. And he was afraid that God was going to call him to be a missionary and he'd have to go to Africa. So he joined the Marines, and the Marines sent him to Africa. That's just so perfect, I thought. But that's kind of people's idea sometimes. If God calls you, it's like, oh my gosh, God's going to want me to do some crazy thing that I'm not prepared for. And I feel like he's setting me up for a failure or something. I don't want to eat yucky food or something. I don't know what it is. But usually that idea of being called by God sometimes is scary. So we're just going to talk today about what can we expect? What are the expectations of being called by God? Sometimes God just calls you to do something simple. Sometimes he calls you to do something big. And we're going to walk through for the next few weeks about four of God's prophets and see what the calling was like and how he called. We're going to talk about how he calls us today. And so today we're going to go through Jeremiah. And with Jeremiah, God started off telling Jeremiah that he had an important mission. And that's sort of what we're going to walk through today. So if you'd like to follow along, we're just going to be in Jeremiah chapter 1. I'll give you a little bit of background on Jeremiah. Jeremiah has a couple nicknames. Some are probably appropriate. Some are probably not. One is the weeping prophet, the crybaby prophet, things like that. He did do some weeping, but that might not be a good way to characterize his whole ministry. He was a prophet for 40 years. So he's kind of like, I don't know if he had like a retirement plan or something, but he was like a lifelong prophet for the Lord in that sense. And he was a prophet during a really hard time for God's people. He started off probably as a teenager. So it's like his first real job. It's probably helping dad or helping the neighbor do something. And then one day it's like, just like, poof, you're a prophet and you have a tough job, but I'll take care of you. And so he started off young. He was from a small town. He was not from Jerusalem. He was not from any of the big cities that you would think of in the old world. He was from a town outside of Jerusalem, just a few miles. It was called Anathoth, and it was not significant in any way. He was a small-town guy. And he was from the smallest of all the tribes of Judah, so it wasn't like he had the name going for him. And it's possible he was like a great-great-great-grandson or something of the prophet that Solomon fired. So he might even have had a black mark on his name. Okay, we're not sure about that, but it's definitely possible. And so the idea is, God took this guy from small town nowhere, just kind of a kid in a sense, wasn't really significant in any way, and he gave him this huge mission. And probably no other prophet is as famous other than perhaps Isaiah than Jeremiah. So Isaiah and Jeremiah are known as some of the major prophets just because their books are really long. And if you're going through the Old Testament, you'll see Isaiah, and then you'll see Jeremiah, and then the book after that is Lamentations, or we're not sure, but we think that one's probably written by Jeremiah too. He was just a hard worker. He went through some tough stuff. He maybe had in his entire life two converts that we think. So he worked for 40 years. He won two people to God, to Yahweh, to the Lord. And now the church looking back looks and they're like, man, Jeremiah was God's man. So God measured him a different way than maybe some other people measured him. So in Jeremiah 1, I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I want to start in verse 4. And I just want you to hear how God is calling Jeremiah And just really hear not just like, okay, what's going on with Jeremiah, but also like, what's the call like? What is God doing? If God were to call me today, what would it sort of be like maybe if this were an example? And so Jeremiah chapter 1, starting in verse 4, says this. Now the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah speaks. He says, oh, but then I said, oh, Lord, look at me. I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth. For to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. I'm going to stop right there. So it's kind of like, if you were just minding your own business, kind of doing your daily thing this week, and God interrupted your day, he interrupted your life, and he said, hey, I am going to give you an important mission, and what I want you to do is I want you to be my spokesman to the United States, okay? I'm going to give you a big, important job. You're going to speak for me to the whole country, okay? And I've chosen you. What would your response be? Probably like, I'm from Indian Lake. I don't know how to speak. You know, no one knows me. You know, I'm not Billy Graham's, you know, grandson or anything like that. I don't, you know. And so Jeremiah's sort of saying, whoa, I'm just a kid. In fact, no one knows me. I'm not even from Jerusalem. I'm kind of no one. And so the idea here is God responded and said, hold on. I'm God, and I called you. I chose you. I knew you before you were even formed in the womb. And the first thing God does is the call comes first. He calls first. He doesn't get you ready first. He doesn't go around and build up your life in a certain way before he calls you. He calls you first. He sort of gives the mission out first thing. You'll sort of see like that how Anathoth was not too far from Jerusalem, but that's probably like the only map in the world that has it on there. It was just such a small town. It's just kind of like a suburb, you might say. And so Jeremiah was like, I don't know how to speak. But God was like, it's okay. Whoever I send you to, you'll go, and I'll be with you. So God, first of all, said he kind of expected Jeremiah to say, oh, I'm afraid. And he's like, it's okay, I got you. I knew you before you were even formed in the womb. And, you know, if you feel like maybe God's leading you to do something, maybe invite a neighbor over for dinner or take care of someone, it's kind of like, I don't know that guy, or I don't know what to do. You know, sometimes it's just like, it's okay. God's probably going to call you to something that you're not prepared for first. And that's part of his calling. He's calling you to do something that is probably out of your comfort zone, which probably is going to make it, it's part of making it an important mission for you. And so Jeremiah says, I can't do it. God says, it's okay. I knew you before you were ever formed. You're going to do it. And whatever you do, whatever I say, you're going to speak. And then he says, starting in verse 8, don't be afraid, for I am with you to deliver you. Then the Lord put out his hand, and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, look, I put my words in your mouth. And this day I've set you over the nations and over kingdoms, and I've given you power to pluck things up and break them down, to destroy and overthrow, to build things up and to plant. And then he has some stuff that's kind of cryptic to us, but we'll break it down really fast. God asks Jeremiah a couple questions. And he's sort of like getting him started. He's sort of helping the new guy, the apprentice, sort of get him started in the world. And he asks him two questions. He says, Jeremiah, won't you tell me what you see? And so we don't know if this is a vision or if Jeremiah was just sitting there and he looks up. And Jeremiah says, well, I see an almond branch. And then the Lord said, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. So this is the beginning of God doing the next thing in Jeremiah's calling. If you were called, God's probably going to call you to something that you might be uncomfortable with, maybe at first. Okay, and we see this over and over and over in the Bible. Usually it's something that that person, the prophet, or just the servant of God cannot do on their own. That's how you know that it's God who's helping you. He calls Jeremiah, can't do it, and now he starts to prepare him. The second thing he does is he prepares and equips us. Notice that comes after the calling. He's going to call you, and then he'll equip you. And so he tells Jeremiah, you know what? I've touched your mouth. I put my words inside you. And if you've been with us for a while, we talked a couple times about the prophet Isaiah, how he got started. And Isaiah has like this vision, and he says, I got swept up into heaven, and I was scared to death, and all the stuff is going on, and he's like, I'm a dead man. And then an angel came and took some tongs and got a coal from the altar, and he touched it to my lips and said, look, I've cleansed you. And again, it's like God sort of like prepared him, cleansed him, made him ready to do the great mission that he was given. So it sounds just sort of like our other prophet, Isaiah. And so God prepared Jeremiah. He did the work of getting Jeremiah ready. It wasn't like Jeremiah had to go out and get a bunch of school really quick. God guided him on whatever preparations he needed. Next thing he did is he asked them that question, what do you see? He said, well, I see an almond branch. And so back then in their day, the almonds were the first thing to bloom in spring. And so the almond branch is always like sort of some symbolic of we're being watchful of that tree, and when it starts to bud, we know spring is coming. And so they had these sayings about being watchful and almond branches, and God's saying, what do you see? Jeremiah's like, well, I see almond branch. And God's like, see, I'm watching over you. I've got my eye on you. It's okay. And you don't have to worry. He's like, he's taking away Jeremiah's fears, and he's letting know that he's got reinforcements, that God is with him. He asks him a second question then, and he said, the word of the Lord came to me again. He said, what do you see? And I looked again, and now it's like certainly a vision. He says, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north, disaster shall be let loose upon all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I'm calling all the enemies of the north to come down and crush my people. And he goes on a little bit about how bad it's going to be. And so he first called Jeremiah. He started to prepare him. And now he's giving Jeremiah the tools for the mission. Here's the message that you're going to speak. I'm going to give you everything you need to know. You're not going to show up and feel like you don't know what to do. I'm preparing you. I'm putting my message in your bag, in your mouth. You're going to have it all prepared. And God gave Jeremiah a really tough message to pass on to other people. It's basically like if God said, okay, Macy, I want you to go to your church and tell them that it's going to catch on fire. You're like, I don't want to tell people that, right? It'd be tough, right? But God says, but I've got my eyes on you, and I'm giving you the tools and the opportunities, and I'm going to make certain appointments. I'm going to make things work out so that you can accomplish my mission. So if God calls you, let's just say God calls you to speak to someone and maybe invite them to church something. You're like, oh, I just know. This person just keeps popping up, and we're talking about inviting people with their small group or whatever. I just feel like God is just, the Holy Spirit's just leading me to invite this person, but I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. Okay, so first, that's the calling, and then God's going to equip you and prepare you to sort of do these things, even at the smallest level. He'll start giving you appointments. You'll start running into that person when you've never run into them before. They might even ask a question. Have you ever thought like God's leading you to talk to someone, and like they ask you a question, like they bring it up? That's like going fishing, and the fish jump in the boat. It's like they're bringing it up. But see, God's going to prepare you, and he's going to help you accomplish the mission that he gives you. And it's probably, honestly, it's probably going to be scary. That's how we know that when it works out, that it's God that's part of that. So my brother, he's changing jobs, and he's going to be a truck driver. So he had been a truck driver earlier in life, but I don't know if he got bored or whatever, so he tried to go do something else for a few years. And now he's going to go back to the company he worked for to drive truck. And I said, oh, so that's cool. I was like, you still remember how to drive those things, right? He said, because I don't want to be on the road with you if you're like, oh, just like, I'll just wing it. He said, actually, I have to go through the whole orientation program again. They're going to make me like back into the garage and do all the stuff. And I was like, so they didn't like test you before they hired you that you could still do that? He's like, no, they just hired me. And they're just going to take me through the orientation. They're like, don't worry, we'll get you all set up. We'll make sure you're familiar. The truck is different than it used to be, but we got you. It's sort of like in the same way, God's like, you know, first I'm going to hire you. I'm going to give you this special job. But don't worry about that other stuff. I'm going to take you through the orientation. I'm going to give you the tools you need. And when you get out on the road, you'll be prepared. I've got you. It's the same way. And so after my brother's boss told him that, he's just like, oh, you know, he just let me know that he's going to take care of me, and he's going to give me everything I need. Like the fear started to drain away. And I remember one time I knew for sure God was calling me to go talk to this guy, and I didn't know him. But I had I had prayed for an opportunity to witness to someone that day. And there's this kid sitting over playing a guitar. And I didn't know him. I was not in my town and stuff. And whatever it was, just like the whole world drained away. And it was only like me and him in the whole town that night. It's like, just like the light shining on him. Right? It was just like, all right. I don't know what to say to this guy. He's going to think some weird is walking up, like trying to sell him something. And it's just like, sure enough, I start walking down that way, and he strikes up conversation with me, and he's like, hey, what do you got there? And I had like this Bible stuff in my hand, and it's just like the fish are jumping in the boat. And it still took a little bit of uncomfortable conversation. I had to be willing to do the work. Man, God set me up, and he helped me along the way. So God called Jeremiah. He equipped Jeremiah. And then he said, you know what, I'm going to give you this message, and I want you to deliver it to my people. I want you to deliver it because it's really decision time. Punishment's coming. They got out of line. So I am going to do something, right? And I want them to hear my message. I want them to know it's me. I want them to remember that there's still a God in heaven, that I'm still powerful and in control. And really, I want them to come back to repent. And he gives them this message that's not really for Jeremiah. Like, sometimes we get the job, and it's like, it's all about the job. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm on a mission for the Lord, and it's really all about me and the mission, but it's really not. It's really about God's calling me to do something for someone else. It's really about that other person. And God's just using all these opportunities he has for us to build us up. You know what? I want someone to go and speak to Johnny. This is a great opportunity to grow up Blake a little bit. I'm going to use Blake in a way he's never been used before. And so, because I want to minister to Johnny, I want to give Blake this awesome mission. And so, over and over and over again, when God calls us, he always intends to use us. He only intends to use you in a certain way that is part of his sovereign plan, right? And it's always for the good of someone else. God is always, always chasing his people. And all throughout the prophets and all throughout all of God's history, he's always chasing after people that love him, after people that have run away from him, after people that have done wrong, people that are worried and calling to him for guidance. God is always going after him. In the old days, there was this preacher, Charles Spurgeon, and several others, and he called God the Hound of Heaven. The Hound of Heaven. He said, because God will chase you down. Only the people that really just don't want God, you know, can really get away. Because he's after you. You know, we're sending missionaries. People feel like God's calling. They're being missionaries in places I never heard of before. They're like, when they were growing up, they're probably like, oh, I want to go to Zimbabwe. You know, but God put that call on them, and God is chasing all those Zimbabweans. Right? I got a friend who's in South Africa right now. And God is chasing the people in South Africa, and God is chasing the people in your neighborhood. Right? It's really for the good of the other people. And whatever God's calling you to this week or this year or the next decade, you know, he wants to use you for a really good purpose. You know, maybe this Christmas, maybe something about you and your family or you and your friends. He wants to use you in a great way that's part of his plan that is for the good of your family or your friends. So finally, God goes through all of that, and he sort of lays out the call, right? And he says, Jeremiah, I'm going to use you in a great way. It's going to be great. It's going to be hard, but I'm with you, right? And then he sort of like wraps it up a little bit. And he says, you know, Jeremiah, I'm going to declare all my judgments through you. It's going to be rough. But he says this, and starting in verse 17, it's like, but this one thing, I want you to do this. Here's what you do. Now it's time for your action. He says, but I want you to dress yourself for work. Get up, stand up on your feet, and say to them everything that I command you. Don't be sad or afraid. Otherwise, I might be dismayed before you. He's like, don't be sad in front of them, or I'm going to be sad about you. And look, I'm going to make you like a fortified city. I'm going to make you like an iron pillar, like a bronze wall against the whole land and against the kings of Judah and its officials and its priests and the people of the land. And they're going to fight against you, but they won't prevail because I'm with you, declares the Lord. He says, listen, I've given you everything you need now. I know this is just the beginning, but I've called you and I've equipped you. And now I'm calling you to action. So last thing is always sort of like, okay, I got the call. And here's like probably the number one thing that we might be guilty of in our Christian culture here in our country is it's sort of like we study God's word. We talk about it. We have small groups about it. But finally, the scariest step, the last thing, is like going and doing, right? Like being the real thing and walking the talk. The last thing is God always expects us to answer. He doesn't give us a mission just for us to have a mission, right? If you were going to the army today, it's not like, okay, the mission is to go and save these people in country XYZ. Okay, I've got a mission. Great. I can't wait to tell my friends about it. All right, see ya. No, I actually want you to go and do this good thing that I've called you to. Once one of my mentors said, "Man, you got to meet this guy. He's like retired, and now he just loves the Lord so much. Now what he does in his retirement is he goes to McDonald's every day and he just witnesses to people in McDonald's. Like that's he just took it upon himself. He just felt like God called him to witnessing people, and the way he found to do it was to talk to people about Jesus at McDonald's." I was like, oh, okay. Everybody needs a way and a place and everything. That's cool. And then my friend said, and he's won 50 people to the Lord at McDonald's. I'm like, 50 people in McDonald's? Like, what does he do? What does he say? How does he work that? Like, what do the McDonald's people think? What's going on? Like, how does that even work? He's like, I don't know. He's just a crazy man. He just does it, you know. But he's just willing to do it. So I'm like, I gotta meet this guy. So I said, you know, send me his name, his number. I'll call him. I'll just see if he'll just let me just come and just hang out with him for a couple hours. So I call this guy up, and he's like, yeah. He's like, come on down. I said, what time you want me to be there? He's like, I'll be there whenever. He's like, I'll be there all the time. Just come whenever. I'm like, all right. So I go there like after dinner one night, and found him. We're talking for a little bit. And here's the thing I noticed about this guy. Sure, he was called by God, right? I know lots of people called for lots of different things. Somehow this guy seemed kind of different. Yeah, I saw God had been preparing him, but he wasn't like the best talker, right? God was still sort of equipping him or preparing him. He was getting better, right? And God was sort of sending him some help sometimes. Yeah, I saw he was called. I saw he was equipped. I saw that God gave him a mission that he was going to use this guy for the good of other people. And people really were, he had all these stories. People really did come to the Lord. And like, it wasn't a one-time decision. They were like still in church. In fact, they go to McDonald's just to talk to him and they have like little sessions. Okay, I see that he was called. I see that God was still equipping him and preparing him. I see that God was using him for good. And what was the difference? The difference was just that number four thing. It was like God expects us to answer, and he just completely committed himself to just answering God's call. Whatever God says, he just does it. This is what I noticed. We'd be talking, and I'd be like, and then what happened? And he would see someone come in. He'd be like, sorry. And he would just leave me. He'd just leave me hanging there because he was so on mission. He's like, if I know that you're in the church, if I know that you're like on the right path of God, he's like, I got something important to do. I'm sorry, I got to hold on a second. And he didn't have the habit of just getting into the comfortable zones. He could have just talked to me all night. That would have been totally comfortable. We could have celebrated all the great stories. But he was willing to say, you know what? I got to put you aside. And I got to go take care of this person over here. He's like, I prayed with them one time. I need to check up on them. So he'd go do that for like 20 minutes. He'd come back. We'd talk some more. And we'd be in the middle of something. He's like, oh, I'll be right back. Half an hour later, he'd come back. And he would just continually chase down what God had for him. He was absolutely tenacious. And man, for me, that's the hardest part. I don't know about you, if it's like, God, I feel God's calling me to... One time I was afraid to give someone a present. That sounds stupid now, saying it out of my mouth. I had this present, and I thought, oh, God wants me to go bless this guy. It's perfect. This is exactly what I need, and I just happened to fall on my lap today. And I'm like, what am I going to say? And I just, you know, it didn't really matter. And I was like, man, I should have been more tenacious, and I eventually did, but man, what was I afraid of? And every day, you know, going forward, for as long as you know the Lord, when God calls you to something, it might be a little scary. Man, it's going to be for the good of other people. And he's just like sitting there just rooting, hoping that we're just going to answer his call. And when someone walks through these doors that's new, maybe next week, you know, I hope I have the guts to say, talking to Terry. Hope I have the guts to say, hold on, Terry, I'll be right back. And just break off for a second and just like, get on mission. Or when I have that teaching moment with my kids, but I'm so tired, right? Hope I have the guts to be like, hold on, honey, here's why we do this. And we don't do things like that. And because we follow Jesus and things like, you know, I hope I take that. Every one of those opportunities, because, you know, that's part of my mission. Your family is too. And maybe as the holidays are coming up, you're going to spend some time with people that maybe you haven't seen for a while and that you love. You know, I hope you take that time to say, hold on. I just have to answer God's call. And whatever it is, I'm just going to jump in and do it. And you know what? If I mess it up, I mess it up. But I was doing what God told me to do, and I know he'll take care of me. And he said he's with me. He's watching me like people watch those almond branches. Right? He's with me. So I just want to encourage you as we pray, as we go out this week, that, know that God is watching over you like we watch the olive branches. Know that God has equipped you, whatever he calls you to, he'll equip you. If it wasn't scary, you know, he probably wouldn't call you to do it. It'll be challenging. And then when you get help, you'll know it's from God. You know, it's not just because you're awesome. And know that when you go and do it, it really will be for someone's good. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. How is this possibly for good? How is it possibly good that I'm going to tell these people that God's bringing down judgment? You know? But eventually God used that. And then Daniel, like we talked about a few weeks ago, and then through that came the line of Jesus and the Savior of the world and his people turning back to him later and everything. God used it. And God will use you. Would you stand with me and we'll pray? Father, thank you, Lord, God, thank you for men and women of God like Jeremiah just to stand up and have the guts to answer your call, Lord. Lord, I pray for your blessing now over every person here in this church and over there in Kids Zone. We're going to ask for your hand upon their lives this week as we try to live for you, as we try to say, are you calling me to do that, Lord? And would you equip me, Lord? Give me the guts to be a doer, not just a talker. God, I pray you give everyone here and me and everyone on the Kids of the Lord, just give us the courage just to live for you and be the real thing this week. But I'm so grateful for all you're doing. Pray your Holy Spirit now. Just come and fill this place in Jesus' holy name. Amen.